Hi, I'm Ruth, and this is a special Microbiology Today edition of Microbe Talk. The November issue of the Society's magazine, Microbiology Today, focuses on natural products and drug discovery. In this podcast, we talk with two researchers about their work to find new antimicrobial compounds that could be used to form new treatments. Lorena Fernandez-Martinez is based at Edge Hill University, and she tells us about her research on actinomyces, and Alid Roberts from Swansea University Medical School about his work on Manuka honey. What does your research focus on?
So my research consists on trying to understand how a group of bacteria called actinomycetes make new antibiotics. And by trying to understand how these antibiotics are made, we can increase the yield of these antibiotics and we can hopefully help fight the antimicrobial resistance crisis.
What are actinomycetes and why are they important?
So actinomycetes are this fascinating group of gram-positive bacteria. They are really ubiquitous, so they live everywhere in different environments. And they are really, really important for us because they are the source of many drugs used in the clinic, not only antibiotics, but also anti-cancer drugs and herbicides and immunosuppressants.
How do you identify antimicrobial compounds?
In the first instance, what we usually do is a really simple antimicrobial assay. So we grow an actinomycet and we basically make it fight against all the bacteria and see whether it kills them or not. If it does, then we do a combination of genome sequencing, bioinformatic analysis, and in collaboration with natural product chemists, we try to understand the structure of the chemical to see if we've got something that's potentially interesting and we can take it further then.
What factors make a compound viable?
There are several factors involved in a compound being able to be successful on clinical trials. First of all, it needs to be effective against pathogens, obviously. It needs to be effective at low doses as well. And it needs to be non-toxic to our human cells. But for me, the most important thing, and we need this in order to test for all of this, is we need to be able to make loads of the compound, so we need really high levels.
How long might it take to find a viable compound?
That will depend on the compound, but from the moment a researcher finds a new exciting antibiotic in the lab till the moment that doctors can prescribe it, it's usually somewhere between 15 or 20 years, so it's quite a long period of time.
What will be the next steps?
So I've got two different focuses for the future. On one hand, we're trying to look at actinomycetes that come from environments that have never been looked into before. And the rationale behind that is that if we look in and explore places, hopefully we'll find new chemistry that might be really useful for the clinic. And on the other hand, I'm taking some of these actinomycetes back to the soil to try to understand how they behave in their natural environment, and hopefully we can then genetically manipulate them in the lab to increase the yield of these compounds.
And now we talk with Alid. Could you tell us about your research?
So my current research focuses on the potential use of Manuka honey as a therapeutic for cystic fibrosis lung infections, which may sound weird, but it's kind of been a natural progression of work over many years now. Essentially, the research group started looking into Manuka honey as a way to treat surface wound infections, and we found that Manuka honey is excellent at clearing Pseudomonas aeruginosa and Staphylococcus aureus biofilms, which cause long-term chronic infections. Now, as well as causing problematic surface wound infections, these two bacterial species cause a range of problems within the cystic fibrosis lung, Staphylococcus aureus in the young and Pseudomonas in older patients. Therefore, we wanted to know whether we could take honey and use it as a potential antimicrobial agent in the cystic fibrosis lung and clear infections caused by these same organisms.
How is Manuka honey different to other types of honey?
So in some respects, there is no difference between Manuka honey and other types of honey. All honeys are made from about 80% sugar and 17% water, which gives all honeys their characteristic sweet taste. Now, the remaining 3% is what differentiates each honey from the next. In order to understand how honeys differ, we first need to think about how they are made. So honey is produced by bees foraging for nectar that is produced by a plant. Therefore, Manuka honey is produced from bees foraging for nectar specifically from the Manuka bush, which is a plant species found within New Zealand and southern Australia. Now, the nectar produced contains what we call phytochemicals or botanicals. Essentially, these are chemicals produced by the plant, which are incorporated into the honey and give them their distinctive taste, smell, and more importantly to me, its antimicrobial properties.
What properties does Manuka honey have, and how could it be used for treatment?
So one of the key compounds in Manuka honey, which is also used as a marker of quality, is methylglyoxal, or MGO for short. The concentration of this is used to determine the honey's unique Manuka factor, or UMF rating. Those with a higher UMF rating have increased antimicrobial activity compared to those with a lower UMF rating. So for therapeutic use, we can't use Manuka honey that is bought from the supermarket. It needs to have a UMF rating above 12, and it also needs to be gamma irradiated to remove any potential bacterial spores. This is because whilst Manuka honey is antibacterial in nature, spores can be present and germinate when conditions are ideal, so we want to eliminate that potential risk. With regards to treatment, we readily dilute the honey down and it still retains excellent antimicrobial activity. Now, applications for surface wounds were very easy to deal with. It's literally a case of applying it directly to the wound site with an appropriate dressing. However, when it comes to cystic fibrosis, things become a little bit trickier. You can't exactly drown people in honey. So the actual application of Manuka honey at this particular target site is something we are currently exploring and working on.
When do you think you'll be able to progress to clinical trials?
So our first clinical trial is currently up and running. Essentially, we have incorporated Manuka honey into a rinse solution, which patients suffering from cystic fibrosis use to clear out their sinuses. Now, our thought process is that if we can induce some beneficial change in bacterial load or composition within the upper nasal cavity, this may filter down as the nasal cavity acts as a constant source of infection for the CF lung. So we're hoping to see benefits lower down in the lung.
What will your research focus on next?
So our next steps are to further expand our knowledge of Manuka honey and identify its mechanistic effects, as well as establishing the full range of effects against various cystic fibrosis pathogens and associated strains. And then on top of all of that, I'll have to analyse all of our clinical data, which is coming in all the time. So there's plenty there to keep me busy.
Find out more about natural products and drug discovery in the November issue of Microbiology Today at microbiologysociety.org/microbiologytoday.